I'm going to read to you from James, the second chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If your brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the breath or spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's James 2:14 through 26. In Hebrews 11, the series that we're giving on the great cloud of witnesses, it goes on to talk in the 30th verse and 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So today we'd like to talk to you about Rahab and Jericho. If we were comparing Rahab to the other faithful that we talked about, this is faith's conclusion. I know, she said in the scripture when it was recording it. She said, I know that your God is great and that people are afraid of you, and so on. And she went on and talked about it and said, I know. And so that was like Israel as faith of obedience. And it was like Sarah, faith's conclusion. She was associated with Abraham as faith's obedience. But if you go back into the book of Joshua, in the second chapter, remember the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. Moses led them for 40 years, and then he was not allowed to enter the promised land. And God buried him on the mountain. And he, as it were, threw his mantle on Joshua that he should lead the children of Israel into the promised land. This is very interesting because Joshua is, in Hebrew, Yehoshua. And that is Jehovah Saves. Jesus' name in Hebrew would be Yehoshua. In fact, Jesus is exactly the same meaning as Joshua. A lot of people see in this the type that Moses, the law, could not lead the children into the promised land, but Joshua, Jesus, could lead the children into the promised land. So there's a little typology there that you might work out. But when you go into Joshua, the children of Israel had come through the 40 years, and Moses had died, and the children of Israel were about to be led into the promised land. And Jericho is down in the plain, and after you would cross the Jordan River, it would be the first main town that you would come to. So logistically, as as a fighting force, the children of Israel as an army, this is the place to take. Because once you take Jericho, which was walled and fortified, then that would open the rest of the territory up to you from the east. And so as a result, it was the natural place to take. And so in the second chapter says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. I want to bring out to you that in the Hebrew, Rahab had to do with food. It was connected to food, and that she was an innkeeper. When you think of a harlot, you think of a prostitute who ran a house of prostitution. This was not what was going on. She had an inn on the wall of Jericho, and as a result, the two spies came to the inn and lodged there. That's what it was. It was lodging. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent it to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. This was very polite, but as it was brought out in the different readings that I did, that her house was her sanctuary, and you didn't just walk into her house. So the king didn't send army men to go in and search her house. He sent to her and said, bring these men out. So it was very courteous. But the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for he shall overtake them. But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. As we all remember, the houses in the Holy Land had flat roofs, and people would lounge on them. And when it was hot in the house, they'd go up on the roof in the evening and lounge. And so this was not unusual. But she had flax up there drying, ready to, of course, be made into linen. And so the men that were seeking the two messenger spies left and went looking for them. And so this is, in this ninth verse, is where you see Rahab's faith. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord, this is Jehovah, this it's all caps, that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. She let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And said, get to the mountain, and so forth. Anyway, they made the arrangement that when Israel would come to take the city, that she would have this red cord hanging out the window on the wall, so they would know where she would lived, and so they wouldn't hurt her. And so the spies, of course, went back and reported, and they decided that they were going to come and take the city. That the city had, he said, has been delivered. It was so sure that the city was going to be taken that they said it has been delivered. Well, over in the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua, we have the story of the taking of Jericho. I know all of you have heard the story, but I think it's still very interesting, and it is historically true that the walls of Jericho did fall down. It said that they sealed up the city. Nobody came or went. And God said, I have given you the city of Jericho. You will compass the city. And he went on and told about how they had the men of war that would go first. And then they would have seven priests with ram's horns or trumpets. And then the rest of the people would follow them. And he said, you will go around the city once a day for 6 days. And you are not to open your mouth. You're not to shout. You're not supposed to say anything. And can you realize or just envision what this was like, just to have this huge army go around your town and not say a word, but just keep blowing these trumpets? And I'm sure it unnerved the people. And they just knew something bad was going to happen. So when they went around the city every day, for 6 days, exactly the same way, never said a word. But the rule was, it said on the seventh day, and the Jewish commentaries actually believe this may have been on the Sabbath, and normally this would not have been allowed, but this was today. Anyway, on the seventh day, they went around the city seven times, blowing the trumpets. And then at a long blast, he said, you're all to shout, everybody to shout at one time. And when they shouted, the walls fell down. And some have said that probably not all of the walls, but just where the army was in front of, because if the walls had fallen down where Rahab was, then she'd been killed. So probably the walls just directly in front of the army all fell down, and it said that you will just go up straight into the city, and they did. And they took the entire city. And archaeologically, the walls of Jericho did fall down. This is one of the things, I love biblical archaeology, but they found that the walls of Jericho had been downed at least 16 times. As when they were digging, they found that they had fallen down at least 16 times. But in the case of Joshua, this was the last time. I remember especially a wonderful National Geographic article where they had excavated, and they found the wall indeed had fallen down, and then it had been burned. And they found grain. They found large bowls and baskets of grain under these walls, where this had just happened suddenly. And they'd been covered up all these centuries, and they could still recognize them as being there. And there were pomegranates and dates along with the grain. But archaeology proves that the city, the walls of the city did fall down, and the city was taken. And Joshua pronounced a curse on the city and said it should not be rebuilt, and it was not. They actually moved the city to another area. The thing that, of course, happened here was that they were ordered not to take a spoil. That was one thing back in the old days. Whenever any army took a city, the spoils were there, the gold and the silver, and anything of value they just plundered. But this time, he said, you're not to plunder the city for yourselves. You're to give them to the treasury of the Lord, all the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron. You are to bring into the treasury of the Lord. And they did. And I know you also remember the story of Achan, because he had, when they came to fight Ai, they lost. And they couldn't figure out, well, the Lord blessed us and we took these other towns. Why not make it? It turned out Achan took some valuables when they sacked Jericho, and as a result, the nation was cursed. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, the walls did fall. The city was taken. But he told the men that had spied out the city that they should go to Rahab's house and to bring out the woman and all she had. And they went. They brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. She brought them out. They brought him out into the camp of Israel, and they burnt the city. And so Joshua saved Rahab and her father's household and all she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I'm going to emphasize, yes, these two men were spies. They were sent in to spy out the land. But I want you to notice here at in this 25th verse, because she hid the messengers. And the word messenger here in the Hebrew is malak, M-A-L-A-K. And it is the same word that is translated angel throughout the Old Testament. Just like you get in the New Testament, the word agelos, A-G-G-E-L-O-S, is translated messenger and angel. Because we're going to talk about that a little later in regard to some other angels who were also spies. But the thing that we see here is that Rahab, because of her faith, was saved. She believed that God, she believed in Jehovah God, that he was the Lord of heaven and earth, and that the city had been given to him and to his people. And as a result of this, she had faith in God. And it was her faith. And I repeat Romans 10:17 over and over again in every one of these stories. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she had heard, she believed, she had faith, and this led to the saving of her and her house when the city was actually destroyed. So she knew. She was faith's conclusion. She was she believed it, and as a result, she was saved. The thing that I want to tie into this as a kind of a lesson is that there was another time when there were spies sent into the land. That was under Moses. It's recorded in the book of Numbers. And there were 12 spies who were sent out. And this is the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. This is in the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. And this was very important. They were coming into the land. In fact, we never think about it. We think about it being a long way from Egypt to the promised land. It wasn't. The nation of Israel could have marched right up the Mediterranean from Egypt. They could have come to Egypt in a few short weeks. But here they were, and Moses sent in the spies. And the 12 men went, and it says that every one of them was a ruler of his tribe. And it goes on, and they were the heads of the children of Israel. These were not just lackeys or low people. These were well-known people. And the only two that we remember were Caleb and Joshua. And we want to remember them because the other 10 came back with an evil report. They were to go into the land and spy it out, and because he said that God has promised that he will give you the land that flows with milk and honey. And they went in and they came back, and they talked about how wonderful it was, how rich it was, the orchards and vineyards and the cities and houses and everything. But the 10 said, there are giants there, and we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. But they brought back a bunch of grapes. I know you've all remember this in Bible school. It took two men with a pole between them on their shoulders to carry one bunch of grapes. I've seen bunches of grapes that big, but in California. But the thing was, the 10 said bad. The 2 said good. And they said, it's ours to take. All we have to do is go in, because God has given it to us. But it goes on to say here, the people murmured and they believed the 10, And they said, why didn't we stay in Egypt? And they actually elected a captain to lead them back into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in front of the congregation and cried to God. And God was going to destroy them all and disinherit them. But the thing that we know here is that God did extend their journey. And this is where where a lot of people get this day for a year in prophecy, which I do not believe in at all. There's no rule on it, but this is the 14th of Numbers, 34th verse. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, that is 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So in other words, instead of allowing them to go right into the promised land, he led them back in the wilderness, and they lived in the wilderness for 40 years till everybody above age 20 died in the wilderness. Remember, there were 650,550 men, 20 years old and over, that went out of Egypt. And all of them but two died in the wilderness, Caleb and Joshua, because they had brought back a good report. God saved them. But the thing that I want to point out, and here is in the 15th chapter, the thing it was, God said, I've given you this land. It is your inheritance. I've given it to you. But it goes on here. There are some key verses here in the 14th chapter, 31st. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Okay, he's telling the older people, I'm going to bring your children into the land that you have despised. And anyway, it goes on here to talk about the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men which did bring up the evil report upon the land died in the plague before the Lord. And then in the 40th verse, we have sinned, they are saying. And then he said, because we have turned away from the Lord will not be with you. But then in the 15th chapter, in the first two verses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, I will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, and so forth. You left your estate. You left your habitation that God has given you. And the thing that made it bad was that these people were all notable, well-known leaders of every tribe of Israel. They were in a position to know God. They were in a position to know God's will, God's way, and they failed. So it was a very terrible thing. So the thing that we want to, of course, emulate and to see and to believe is Rahab's faith that says, I know God. And that's what we are trying to bring out here, that her great faith, she had heard, she believed, and she had this great faith in God. And that's why she's in the great cloud of witnesses, because she heard and she believed, and as a result, she is a special person in the great cloud of witnesses. I've studied this, and I'm not sure of this, but in Matthew 1:5, Rahab is listed as one of the forebears of Jesus Christ. She is in his genealogy. And there is the thought that, well, it actually mentioned here that she married Salmon, who was probably one of the two spies. And as a result of this, she is in the genealogy of Jesus. Just to think that many years ago, this innkeeper would take in spies messengers of God, and she would be chosen to be saved then and chosen to be in the family line of Jesus. Rahab's faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the innkeeper Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the messengers with peace.